of the week, I was listening to a message and I had inspiration for this particular message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Although I'm not going in the same direction with the man, but he gave me an understanding. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I'll be speaking on this topic. 12 types of people that God cannot help. I'm sure you'll be wondering, God can help everybody. There are 12 types of people, probably more, but I'm speaking on 12 of them that God cannot help. Man cannot help them. God cannot help them. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, it looks like a paradox, but that's the truth. That's the honest truth. There are some people that have positioned themselves in such a way that even God is helpless about them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this month has been declared as our month of as what? Delightsome, beautiful, precious, glorious. Hallelujah. But you say, you know that scripture says, it says, ye shall be a delightsome land. Ye shall be a delightsome land. That's Malachi chapter 3 verse 12. He said, you will be a delightsome land. And I told you that to be a delightsome land, the Bible is not talking about land. It's not just talking about any place. The Bible is talking about you. It's talking about your life. It's talking about making your life what? Delightsome. You are that person that God is interested in. He wants to make your life delightsome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was once in a particular hotel. And the name of that hotel, interestingly, is what? Delightsome. That's the name of that hotel. Hallelujah. And you know, when you are in an hotel and you pay for yourself, you know, you might not really, you are forced to do that. But when you are lodged in an hotel, hallelujah, and somebody has paid for everything, including feeding, including everything, you know, that's the real delightsome. They bring you food. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many people have eaten buffet before? You have eaten buffet before. But my God, people need to go out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, okay, she says she's inviting everybody in November to a buffet. Hallelujah. You know, in buffet, I went to Abuja for a meeting. And in the buffet, you know, in the hotel, where we were, where we held the meeting and everything, that was a buffet. And you know, in buffet, they would just arrange all manner of food. You understand? And then, the only problem is this. You are not permitted to take it out, but you are permitted to eat as much as possible. You understand? You just keep ordering food. You sit down. If you need food again, you go. You order. Hallelujah. I've told you before. That was where I discovered that big people can be very stupid. Hallelujah. Because it was there I saw that people can eat bread and asaro. I don't know how it goes. I saw people with bread. I saw bread with asaro with a little amala and eba and vegetable on the same plate. And you know, these are not ordinary people. These are well-to-do people. You understand? But because it's a buffet, you see all manner of wonders. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you eat fish, you eat meat. You understand? Then you eat different types of fish. You know, it's just delightsome. Hallelujah. They carry your suitcase. You know, I'm not talking of Dogonkoli. They carry your suitcase. They collect it from the car. They package you. You are excited. They give you everything. That is delightsome. Everything you need, they bring. Just make a call. Whatever you ask for, if they don't have it, they go and look for it and bring. If they don't have it ready, they just tell you, give us 20 minutes, give us 5 minutes. And before you know what's happening, it has come. Hallelujah. In the morning, they come to you. They ask if you have clothes for laundry. Can you imagine? You give them, including all the ones, so you just pack all the old clothes from home. Hallelujah. You give them. They just sort you out. And you are comfortable. That is what? That is delightsome. How will you feel if your life is delightsome? Hallelujah. If angels are at your beck and call, if they can always come, what do you need this morning? And your needs are automatically met per time. That is delightsome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what God said. He wants to make your life a delightsome. When anybody comes around you, they are okay. They are comfortable. They want to go. They want to come back to that same place. And that's the agenda of God. Hallelujah. Delightsome also means to give joy, to give pleasure, to give enjoyment, to have it in abundance. That is what? That is delightsome. But now, the question is this. God wants to make your life delightsome. God wants to help you. As a matter of fact, if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Can I have Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8? Hebrews chapter 13
verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Look at this. It said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ today, the same, today, and how? And forever. Praise the Lord. It simply means he doesn't change. What he has done in time past, he can repeat it in your life. If he came and made people comfortable in your days, he can come back and make you comfortable in your own day. That is God. He didn't change. He didn't go anywhere. It is man that has problem, not God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, God loves to help people. Anywhere you see God, you see help. As a matter of fact, another name of God is help. Go to verse 6. Verse 6 of this same Hebrews. Look at it. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Another name of God is what? Help. Help. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, they call it Jehovah Ezer. Jehovah Ezer. That's easy or EZ if you are from my village. Easy ER. That's Jehovah Ezer, which simply means Jehovah is help. God is help. So anywhere you see God, you see help. God wants to help man. But the question is this. There are two parameters that you must be aware of. And those two parameters are the things that discourages help from people. That makes God handicap in helping many people. That's the problem. And now you have to understand those two parameters. And now what are these parameters? That is the parameter of position and the parameter of posture. Now learn it, never forget it. There is something called positioning. And there is something called posture. Positioning talks about the state of your heart. The state of your heart. That is positioning. You remember when Prophet Samuel went, that should be 1 Samuel chapter 16, when he went to anoint a king in the house of Jesse. You remember what happened? Eliab stood up and they were about to anoint him. And God said, don't anoint him because I have rejected him. Hallelujah. And Samuel was wondering, why, Lord? He said, because the Lord does not look at the physical. The Lord looks at where? The inside. Now, the inside, the position of your heart is what we call positioning. So in the realm of the spirit, the state of your heart determines whether things will come to you or not. Hallelujah. And then the second one is posture. Positioning is internal. Posture is external. Positioning is what? Internal. And posture is external. How you believe, what your beliefs about something is what is called positioning. And that's the way you carry yourself on the inside. How you now react on the outside is what? What you call posture. And now these two characteristics and peculiarity are very, very important. And you need to know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know there is a way somebody can kneel down to greet you? Abi? And you know that inside the person is standing up. Do you understand that English? Huh? The person is kneeling down on the outside to greet you. But internally, the person is actually doing what? Standing up. Abi? There is a way somebody on the outside will tell you thank you. That you know that the thank you is not internal. It's different. What is actually is thanking you with the mouth on the outside. But inside, what he's actually saying is that it's not enough. Do you understand that English? Do you know people like that? Hallelujah. You know that the way they did their own from the outside, there is something inside that they are not telling you. If they tell you that it's okay. Inside, it is not okay. And they will reveal it by their posture. So God actually looks at what? Internal. That's your positioning. And so your positioning determines whether certain things will come to you or not. Now, those are key things that you need to understand. I'm going to be showing you 12 things. 12 people. So that in case you are one of them, you quickly shift your position. Do you understand now? You shift your position and then you shift your posture to such a position where you can actually receive from God. That is very critical. Now, let me show you this scripture. Matthew chapter 10. I'll read from verse 10 to 17 quickly. And that's, I want you to pay rapt attention and listen carefully. Matthew chapter 10. I read from verse 10 to verse 17. Hallelujah. He said now, Matthew 10:10. He said, no script for your journey. It was Jesus Christ was sending some people out on a journey. Now, he said, don't carry any script for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs. He said, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, go to verse 11. Now, look at this verse 11 critically. He said, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire Now, underline that word in your Bible. He said, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. He said, when you enter a city, make an inquiry. Find out who is worthy of what I carry. He was the one that has given them, you know, earlier on, he has given them power. He has given them authority. He said they should go forth in that power and that authority. But he said, when you enter into a city, inquire, find out, look at the positioning, look at the posture of the house that you want to enter. Find out about the people that you are going to meet. Do they want what I carry? Can they receive you? Now that's very important and critical. So he told them, he said, find out, inquire. Now follow the story. He said, and when you come into an house, salute. He said, when you get to a place, don't be rude. Greet them. Greet them very well. Right? He said, salute them. All right. Verse 13. He said, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Wow. Huh? You know, that's not the direction at which I'm going today. If not, you know, this statement is loaded. He said, if you step into a place and your peace, they don't accept it. You said, take it back. That means peace is something you can take back. Hallelujah. Peace is something you can take back. You can put it in your pocket and you can go away with it. It's your peace. But do you know what? There are some people, you have entered into some relationship. You have entered into a place that they have seized your peace. They have taken your peace from you. And you left it there and you left. He said, go back. Take it. Some of you, your peace is in the year 2000. Somebody took it. And up to today, you've not picked it up. Go back. Go and pick it. But that's not where I'm going today. Now listen carefully. He said, if your peace, if they don't accept you, take back your peace. Now go ahead. He said, and whosoever shall not receive you. Now here. Whosoever shall not receive you. Who sent them? God. I mean Jesus, right? And you remember Jesus Christ told us. He said, I am my Father. We are what? We are one. I am the person that is sending me on my errand. We are one. So God is sending them. He said, but did you receive? He said, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. That simply means what? If they won't receive you, package yourself, everything you carry. And he said, in case you don't understand, shake the dust off your feet and you go. What does that mean? Any trouble they give you, they are dropping there. Don't carry it ahead. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, my son-in-law was telling me about the lady, and she asked me to please, yesterday she was telling me, cancel the lady and all that and all that. And I said, okay, no problem. This lady had a bad relationship. You understand? Had a very, very bad courtship. And then men are wicked. In fact, there is no man that is good. And you are telling somebody that has been married for at least about 10 years. So she was telling my sister-in-law. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know that that person has a problem now. Do you understand? She didn't shake the dust off her feet in the old one, and she has carried it into a new one. Some people refuse to shake off a heart, and they are still not seeing the unforgiveness powerfully. Every morning when they wake up, they nurse it, they feed it, they give it bread, they give it food, and they keep carrying it up and down. And they think everybody else they meet, you know, there are some people, because they have been duped before, they think everybody they meet want to dupe them. They don't believe that anybody will have anything good for them. They are carrying it. They say, shake it off. Drop it there. But you know, like I said, that's not even the angle at which I'm going. Now let's go on. Now look at this problem now. He said, anywhere you live, he said, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Anywhere they don't receive you. He said, that means there is trouble there. Hallelujah. And they will wish that they are, when you carry what you brought away, when God departs, God won't do anything there for them. He said, when you depart, guy, those people will wish that they should be Sodom and Gomorrah because of the kind of torture and punishment that will eventually come upon them. Can you imagine that? That's terrible. That means it's not everybody that can receive you. It's not everybody God can help. Hallelujah. So God said, if they don't receive you, leave. Don't waste your time there. Just carry it yourself and leave. Go ahead. You remember verse 16? It's popular. I'm sure you should remember it. I'm still going to be preaching on it. You know, I told you I'm returning back to it. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now look at verse 17. He said, but beware of men. He says, so be careful. Beware of men. Anywhere you get to study them, know them critically. Know the people that can be helped. Know the people you cannot help. Lest you are wasting your time on somebody that doesn't need help. And you discover that you have wasted so much time. Whereas other people that will accept you are there waiting for what you carry. Hallelujah. So say those people, they refuse you. Hallelujah. God is help. God wants to help. Anywhere God is doing a work of helping. Hallelujah. Whether you see that God is helping, or you didn't see what God is doing, He is helping behind the scene. That is who God is. But now there is a problem. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Quickly. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. God needs your permission to help you. He needs your permission to help you. He needs your permission. Express permission to help you. Now this is not in the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament. Look at this scripture. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God doesn't break into buildings. He's not a thief. He told us in John chapter 10 that he's not a thief. He's only a thief that jumps inside a house through the window. He is not like that. He doesn't jump through the window. He enters legally. How does he enter? He said, he knocks. He's the owner. He created you. He created me. But he said, I still will not break protocol. I follow protocol. I knock before I enter. Now look at what he said. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we sup with him. I will eat with him and he with me. Message. He said, look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear my call and open the door, I will come right in and sit down and supper with you. Say, that's God. You need my help? I knock. You say, hello, who is there? It's me, God. He said, okay, I'm coming. I open the door. You come in. But he said, if you don't allow me to come in, there is no problem about that. I move away. Hallelujah. You know, that's powerful. That's the way God operates. Hallelujah. So now, who are the people? Or what characteristics? Or what positions do some people take around God that makes it impossible for God to help them? That's where we are going now. Hallelujah. Are you following me systematically now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alright, so let's look at some of them. Let's see how many we can measure today. Even if it is one, no problem. Number one, the first person that I notice that God cannot help. It is somebody who doesn't think they need help. Or people that don't think they need help. Have you met people like that? Everybody knows that they need help, but they feel they are okay. I call them the ignorant. The ignorant. The ignorant. The ignorant. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. King James. He said, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, now these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician. But they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Do you understand that scripture? Jesus Christ said, look, you know, if you feel you are okay, and somebody just come to you and tell you, you have malaria. I said, me, malaria, God forbid, I don't have malaria. He said, no, this is chloroquine. Take. Hallelujah. You are walking normally. Somebody will just come to you and tell you, we want to do POP on your leg. He said, what's POP? He said, Pastor of Paris. He said, because we can see that your bone is broken. He said, I'm walking normally. I don't need it. Abi. Jesus Christ said, so I didn't come for the people that feel they are okay. I came for the people that are sick and that know they are sick. There are some people that are sick. They need help. But the problem is this, they don't know they need help. You cannot help them. Hallelujah. Because there is no way you can convince somebody that he has headache when he keeps telling you he doesn't have headache. Say, Mr. Man, you have headache. Say, I don't have headache. Say, use Panadol. He said, I'm not using. There are people like that in life. There are some people, let me bring it home. There are some people. now you tell them that this your attitude will get you into trouble. Hallelujah. He said, no, that's the way I was born. You know people like that. He said, it's my nature. Some people tell you, it's my temperament. Abi Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham knows what I'm talking about. Abi said, no. It's my temperament. That's the way I was wired. Said, but this thing will get you into trouble. He said, no. I'm okay. You can't help them. And you know what? God is knocking. They refuse to open. Hallelujah. Don't ever position yourself and put yourself in a position whereby you need help, but you refuse it. God can't help you. They need help. Everybody knows, but they keep telling you, no, we don't need it. I don't need your help. And you know, that's the problem of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what do you know that up to today, Daddy was telling us that one of their church members went to do work somewhere and met an Israeli. You understand? And they traveled together by air. And as they were just discussing on the plane, that one now asked him, he said, are you a Christian? You know, he saw him reading his Bible inside the plane. He said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, you are one of those people that believe in Jesus Christ. The Israeli was telling him. He said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. What about you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He laughed. And the man was wondering, why are you laughing? He laughed. He said, do you know what? That one said, what? He said, I speak Aramaic. I'm from Nazareth. The house of Joseph, the father of your Jesus, is next to my compound. Do you understand? He said, he lived, he is a man. He's not God. He said, look, I know his house. His house is still there preserved. All the people used to come there to come and look at it. Roberto, how do you pitch that kind of a person now? Can you imagine? He said, I know his house. This is Jesus you are talking about. Can you imagine? And you know what? So that one was not asking him. And you know, up till now, up till tomorrow, the Jews are still expecting Jesus. They said he has not come. That one that came, they don't know anything about it. They are expecting Jesus. Can you imagine? And do you know, that is the lifestyle of so many people. That's their lifestyle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So somebody who doesn't think they need help. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. I'll read 24 to 26. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. Jeremiah 7, 24. He said, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and the imagination of their evil hearts. Now, those are the people the Bible is describing now. He said, and went backward and not forward. Do you understand those people now? They keep going backward. Everybody said, Mr. Man, you are going backward. He said, no, I'm going forward. I'm making progress. I said, this is not progress. This is not progress. Be careful. He said, no, I'm okay. Look at it. Verse 25. But since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Because every morning, I keep sending them to you. Verse 36. He said, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their hair, but hardened their neck, that they did worse than their fathers. Can you imagine? Because so in their case, I am helpless. I can't help them. There is nothing more I can do for them. So that's number one. Somebody who doesn't think he needs help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, one of my friends was telling me, he went abroad to go and preach. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. He was preaching to some people. Give your life to Christ. You know, you need Jesus in your life. You need this, you need that, you know. And he kept talking. Hallelujah. And the person said, what will Jesus do for me? You know, African gospel is different from the gospel you preach abroad. Hallelujah. God is taking you to places, but you must know what to do or say when you get there. He said, Jesus will make your life comfortable. The man said, I'm already comfortable. You know, when you tell an African man, that one appeals to him. He said, I'm comfortable. And this man said something that shocked me. He said, the guy said, I said, at the time they were talking, I think he said the guy was around 32 or 33 years old. He said, the guy told him, the guy said, what my parents planned out for me from day one that I was giving birth to happened as at when due. Say, I had all the scholarship they wanted me to have, all the money they saved, all that and all that and all that and all that and all that. He said, at 33, he was already a doctor. He said, so, why do I need Jesus? You know, that's why it's difficult to preach to a rich man about Jesus. Because all you think that there is to God is what? Is just prosperity. Come, no! What do you say to a rich man? Hallelujah. You pray that God give him a problem that money cannot solve. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Don't wait till you get to an angle. Till they will push you into an angle, into a corner. Where not money will fail. Where everything else will fail. Then you start looking for God. Hallelujah. God has a way of disgracing money. Coming and becoming born again is deeper than money. No. It's an elemental part of what we are discussing. Hallelujah. You need him. You need God. You need Jesus. Praise the Lord. Number two, set of people. Number two set of people is somebody who knows that he needs help, but he doesn't want it. He knows he needs help. Not that he doesn't know, but he doesn't want it. Are there people like that? Yes. They know they need help, but they don't want it. Now let me show you two categories. Let me show you two beggars. Let me show you two beggars this morning. Number one, Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 1. I'll read quickly from verse 1. Or let me jump. Okay, let me start from verse 1. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 1. It said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Verse 2. It said, and a certain man, now listen carefully, this is a beggar. And he said, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Now the question is this, where is his solution? Where is his solution? Do you understand? Where does his solution lie? Inside the temple, isn't it? Hallelujah. Abi, what is he supposed to do? He's a lame man. Can you imagine? Somebody now, every Sunday, they bring him and they put him at the gate. And as we are coming out of church, and he's hearing us shouting, Jesus can do this, Jesus can do that. Rise up, pray, pray. And we are praying. And he's waiting for us outside. After church, he said, Babi Allah. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, he's there. You know, crowd are coming. Do you know people like that? When you go to Lagos and you go to Abuja, you understand what I'm saying. People queue up. They line up at the gate of churches to beg for alms. Now, the question is, where will we solve their problem? Prayer. Where do they make the prayer? Inside the temple. The Bible says, daily, they place him there. What does he do? To beg alms from the people that are entering and coming out of the temple. And now, for you to understand what I'm talking about, let's go ahead. Verse 3. The Bible says, who seeing Peter and John asked to go into the temple, asked an alms. He saw Peter. He saw John. He knew that these are disciples of Jesus. He knew that Peter was the pastor of the temple. Everybody was waiting for Peter to come and preach in the temple. He knew. But he doesn't. What Peter carried is not his problem. Peter, Babiala. Hallelujah. Number 4. He said, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse 5. And they gave heed unto them. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting money, silver and gold. Now look at verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The guy refused to stand up. Because you know, there are people like that. Do you know them? They are comfortable with handouts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They are comfortable with handouts. Tokens. They don't want to use their brain. They don't want to use their hands. They don't want to do anything for themselves. They want people to do everything for them. They are comfortable with the way people are carrying them. They know they need help. Look at this guy. He has been seeing people walking on two legs. Abi, it never occurred to him to say, let me also walk. People can walk. Why are my own legs like this? Let me enter into this temple and pray. He has been hearing testimonies every Sunday. At the last Sunday of the month, when people are sharing testimony, he's by the gate. He's there and he says, I was listening to a pastor. True life. On the crusade ground, a man was led to the crusade ground. He was blind. They led him to the crusade ground. And they were begging for alms. While crusade, Rehabonke crusade was going on, they were begging for alms from people to people, place to place. They were begging people, and people were giving him money. Rehabonke began to pray. Rehabonke began to pray. He said himself, he started quoting 1 John chapter 3, I think verse 8 now. He started saying, for this cause, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. Whatever represents the work of the devil in this place, I command it to be destroyed in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command it to be destroyed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And people echoed, amen. The guy's eyes opened. Pow! The guy looked. He looked. He could see. He said, I can see. He said, I can see. He said, I can see. And everybody that has been giving him money saw. What? And they started shouting. And Rehabonke said, what is happening there? He said, there's a man here. We have been giving him. He came to beg for hands. Now he can see. He said, bring him up. And they brought him up. He said, to God be the glory. They said, Mr. Man, is it true that you can see now? How long have you been blind? He said, since he was a child. He said, yeah. So, to God be the glory. You can see now. He said, yes. He said, but I have a request. And he said, what is the request? He said, sir, can you command the eyes to close again? Because how will I eat today? He said, please command the eyes to go back to the original condition. This same guy. Do you know people like that? They are okay. Leave them. Hallelujah. They are comfortable with their father's naira. It's okay for them. They don't care. They are making money as beggars. They are okay. They are comfortable. One of my pastor friends said, a member of his church has problems. And the guy will always come. He will give him money. The guy will always come. He will give him money. And so one day, he came. Another pastor was there. And they were discussing. He said, what's wrong with this young man? He said, they have been believing God for job for him, but he has not been doing anything. So they normally support him, and they do that, and they do that. And the man said, yeah, okay, no problem. He said, what does he do? He said, he's a graduate, but he's looking for job. He said, can you send him to me? And that one sent. They sent him to the guy. The guy said, look at the back of my house. He needs weeding. Weed it. You understand? I will give you 5,000 naira. Because normally he said he will give somebody 2,000 naira. The guy said, that's a dirty job. So that's dirty. Oh. Okay. But the money is not dirty. That's the position of this. He refused to stand up. He refused to fear by Peter, sorry. Peter, be careful. Peter, stop that. Look at what Peter did next. Verse 7. And Peter took him by the hand. He's a stupid man. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bone received strength. Peter said, what? Well, you don't understand what Peter was telling him. He said, I've given you more than enough. Every day, silver and gold. I want to keep my silver and gold. Right. One else, did they go and walk? That's what Peter was telling him. You don't understand? I said, read your scripture with imagination. Hallelujah. Peter said, today, stand up. Go and walk. Huh? And the guys eventually stood up and said, yeah. So I can walk. Can you imagine? But let me show you another beggar. Mark chapter 10. Verse 47. Mark chapter 10, verse 47. And when he heard, this was a blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's another beggar. Now look at it. Verse 48. He said, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought, to be called. And he called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he called thee. Can you see the two attitudes? Hallelujah. He heard about Jesus. That big man that they have been talking about. Please tell him. Look at what Jesus did next. Let me show you. for you to understand the difference between the two of them. Go to verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him. Now for you to understand. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want? Do you understand that now? What do you want? Do you want to see? Or do you want me to give you silver and gold? That's exactly the question Jesus was asking him. And look at it. And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. The same thing, if you read the story from the beginning, they used to lead him by hand to that place. And every day he comes there, he begs. But you know, this one was not comfortable with that position. He needed a change. He wanted a change, a radical change in his life. He was tired of being helped. He was tired of remaining in that particular position. So do you understand what I mean now? So there are people that know they need help, but they don't want. That's a wrong positioning. That's a wrong positioning. Hallelujah. All right, let me share one more with you. Number three. Somebody who wants help, but doesn't want it from you. Wow. He knows he needs help. He knows you can help him. Abi, but doesn't want it. He wants help, but doesn't want it from you. As long as it is you, he doesn't want. Do you know people like that? Hallelujah. Do you know people like that? Are we together? Have you encountered people like that before? Do you understand? They know they need help. But as long as it is from you, they don't want. Hallelujah. He said, no. He will start raising his shoulder now. He will start raising his shoulder. That is the one that helped me. Let him raise his shoulder. Maybe you have collected what you want. Let him go to NTA. Let him go to CNN and say, I did it. No problem. You come out on air too and say, he did it. Hallelujah. There is no problem about that. Praise the Lord. God used him. God could have used somebody else. Praise the Lord. They need help. But the problem is this. As long as it is you, they don't want. Mark chapter 6. I'll read from verse 1. Quickly. Mark chapter 6. I read from verse 1. I want to read from verse 1 to verse 5 or thereabout. Mark chapter 6. It says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. He got into Jerusalem. Into his own country. And his disciples follow him. You remember this scripture? And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And now listen carefully. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that he should, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? So this man is just doing miracles. Ha! To God be the glory. We all want miracles. What? Where did he get this kind of wisdom that he can carry out such powerful acts? Now listen carefully. Verse 3. Now here is the problem. Familiarity. They said, is not this the carpenter? Then I said, okay, we'll also go to church. Let's go there so that we can get our miracle. Somebody now called them. Yeah, you don't know him. He said, who is he? He's a carpenter. Is this carpenter now? You don't know him. He said, no, we don't know him. He said, the carpenter. That guy that made your bed. No. He said, that guy didn't go to school now. How can he be talking like that? He said, you don't know. He said, he's the one. He said, tell me more. Now he said, he's the carpenter. He said, the son of Mary. You know, people can describe you to your home. They know you. He said, the son of Mary. He said, Mary, which Mary? That Mary now. You don't know Mary. Sorry, we don't know Mary. That Mary. You remember that boy that she had out of wedlock? It's coming from my mouth. Hallelujah. He said, that guy, you know, up to today, the mother didn't even tell us who the father is. Say, and he's the one. He said, the son of Mary. So when you are reading your Bible, you should understand when they are using certain terms. They know what they are saying. Do you know people that do groomer like that? Hallelujah. He said, that guy, you don't know him. That used to be mad. He's the one. Hallelujah. He said, the brother of James. Naimo. And Joseph. And of Judah. And Simeon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They just said,
speaks powerfully. He does mighty works. They know they need miracles. But they said, no! As long as he's that bastard, we don't want from him. We don't know who his father is. That's what they are saying. We don't know. He's not coming. They are saying he's the Son of God. Which the Bible says, and they were offended in him. Wow. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kind, and in his own house. See, he doesn't have honor. He don't respect prophets at all. Now look at verse 5. Very pitiful. He said, and he could then do no mighty work, save that he lay his hands upon a few folk and healed them. Do you understand? He couldn't do mighty works. They didn't receive his ministry. And I'm sure you know, anointing works on the basis of estimation. The value you place on anointing depends on what drops on you. It works on the basis of estimation. The people that estimated him well got mighty works. The people that didn't place correct value on him got almost nothing. And that was a major problem. Is there somebody that will help you? No. That guy knows that thing. He knows it. Abi? Say that guy knows it very well. Are you sure he knows it? He knows it. He says, oh, this is I don't like the way he talks. I won't go and learn from him. Now the question is this. Let me speak the English like this. Who are you doing? That's Yoruba English. Who are you doing? Yourself. It's yourself. The guy already knows it. He doesn't have any problem. He's you that have problem. And he's you that is posing. God cannot help such people. They know they need help. But the problem is this. They want it, but they don't want it from you. They don't want it from God. Hallelujah. I've been a pastor for some time. I know people, they just want magic. They want magic. Say, okay, we'll go to the mountain, we'll go and pray about the matter. Say, what is it, this prayer? Say, is there not something we can just organize? And you know, something will just happen. You understand, abracadabra. No. They know they need help. They want it. Not that they don't want it, but the problem is, it is you. And as long as it's you, they don't want it from you. Do you have people like that? There are things you need to know. And you know they know it. You know it's in their hands. All you need to do is just to ask. But your ego and your pride will simply not bring you to that position where you submit and learn what you needed to learn. If you're in that position, you are in trouble. Because even God cannot help you. He has said, look at what we read in that Jeremiah chapter 7. He said, God wakes up every morning. That should be 7:25, right? Go to 7:25 for me. 7:25, Jeremiah. Yes. He said, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophet. He said, daily rising up early and sending them. God said, I wake up every morning and I send destiny helpers. I send divine helpers to you every morning. But the question is this. Is that you don't want? You want it, but you don't want it from them. As long as it is Jesus, the Son of Mary, you don't want. Those are three categories of people that God cannot help. By the grace of God, by next week, we'll continue looking at the remaining in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall we rise up on our feet as we just say a word of prayer? Why not talk to God?